Good morning. Welcome to First Unitarian Church. Welcome familiar faces. Welcome new visitors. Welcome to this liberal religious congregation where we believe that we need not think alike to love alike. Welcome atheists and theists and everyone in between. Welcome with your unique loves and identities. Welcome all. I'm Angela Herrera, the senior minister here. I'm joined this morning by our director of music, Susan Peck, by lay leader Raven Reed Starr, our wonderful volunteer DJ, Dan Small, and our beloved tech team working behind the scenes to make the service work. As we get started, Raven has a few announcements to share.
Good morning. We have several announcements for this glorious fall Sunday. If you have tried to send an email to the church staff over the last few days, you may have noticed our system is down. We are aware of the problem and we are working on it. In the meantime, staff are still checking their voicemails at the church office. You are joyfully invited to attend a special, long-awaited event, the ordination of Dan Lilly, later this afternoon. Dan served as our ministerial intern from 2016 to 2017, and he was our ministerial resident from 2017 to 2019. In August, Dan, his wife Emily, and their daughter Natalie moved to Washington State, where Dan serves as a minister for the UU Congregation of Woodinville. The Congregation of Woodinville will ordain him together with First Unitarian at 4 p.m. Mountain Time, 3 p.m. Pacific. Please check the chat bar for the Zoom information or check this week's e-broadsheet for the link. This morning, the interlude and offertory feature, our pianist, Gabriel Longinos, who is playing Bach on the Steinway in the sanctuary. And finally, we have a special video announcement this morning as well.
Good morning. I'm Jerry Noble.
And I'm Chris Mayo.
We are members of the Social Justice Council, or SJC. For years, the SJC has hosted an annual auction to raise funds for social justice projects. This year was a little problematic, as you can imagine. How could we hold an auction when you cannot gather together?
Well, we could do it online.
Online?
Yeah, online.
How would that work?
Well, we used Facebook as our platform to collect donations in October and then auction them off for all of November. And people can bid from home and have fun with it.
That sounds like fun. How do I participate?
Well, that one's easy. There will be a link on the church website, uuabq.org. And that'll take you straight to the auction site.
Okay, I can make donations now, and then in November, I can bid on anything I'm interested in.
Yep, that's right.
Is that it? Bid on items for a month?
No, that's not all. On November 15th, we'll do a live on Zoom, event where we can bid on a sermon topic for Angela or for Bob.
What kind of topics?
Well, that's what's so fun about it. Every time someone bids, they announce the topic they want. It could be serious, it could be fun, or both. So for fun, maybe I want to hear Angela talk about her shoe collection. Or maybe I want to hear Bob wax philosophical on the Tao of Robert De Niro.
Or an issue like the environment or racism?
Right, now you're getting it.
Can I donate items to the auction?
Yeah, of course.
What kind?
Well, really anything. Like that ice cream maker that seemed like such a great idea at the time. Or a service like yard work. Or shopping for someone. Or making a special meal and dropping it off. Or even hosting a talk about an interesting topic. We can be creative as we want to be.
An interesting topic. so I could do a presentation on the road trip around the country that Linda and I took last year.
Exactly, that would be perfect.
Okay, so we're raising money for what?
Well, good stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Good stuff. Every year, the SJC supports social justice projects like the Food Pantry, Family Promise, Immigrant Justice, and lots of other things. This year, we donated funds, for instance, to the Minister's Discretionary Fund to help church members impacted by the virus.
Wow, that's awesome. So donating to the auction is happening now, and bidding starts on November 1st.
That's right.
I guess I'll see you there.
Yes, you will, and I'll see you there too.
And we'll see all of you. All of you.
Come join us.
Well, I can't wait to see what the social justice auction bidders come up with for sermon topics this year. That's always a fun part. I invite you to join me now in the lighting of chalices and candles. We kindle these flames grateful for the love we experience in this gathered community. May the light within each of us light the way for all who seek such abundance.
Good morning. Our theme for October is deep listening. So we're going to be singing two songs this morning. Sort of, they're both short, so we're going to put them together. Voice Still and Small, words and music by John Corrado, and Hush, Hush, Somebody's Calling My Name. The words are in the chat box, and we'll repeat both songs a few times.
Dark and rain, sorrow and pain, still.
small, deep inside all, I hear your call, singing hush, hush.
My name's Kodiak.
And I'm Corbett.
Please join us in the Children's Affirmation.
We are Unitarian Universalists. We are people of faith with open minds, loving hearts, and helping hands. Thank you.
I needed that story this morning. How about you? Let's pause the chat box for a few moments now for meditation and prayer. And I invite you to breathe, get centered and settled wherever you are, on your feet, on a chair, on a bed. Inhale, exhale. See if you can let your head lift a little bit. If you're sitting or standing, see if your head can reach a bit closer to the sky. And soften. Notice the way you're drawn toward the earth by her gravity. Breathe. You can close your eyes if you'd like and be held just as you are, happy, sad, peaceful, stressed, with whatever you have in your mind or your conscience or your heart. Just be held. And know, in the words of the 15th century's Julian of Norwich, that all shall be well. And all shall be well. And all manner of things shall be well. We continue in silence.
We come now to our time of sharing joys and concerns. These woven events unfold in our lives, personally, and in our varied communities and the larger world. Holding these moments together gives us an opportunity to support one another along our journeys of care and growth. Please use the chat bar for this sharing. If you are not able to write in the chat bar, please contact the church office or send an email to caring@uuabq.org to let us know what is on your heart. First, share your joys, followed by concerns, as prompted on your screen.
See the moon roll across the stars. See the seasons turn like a heart. Your parents' days are lost to you. This is your time here to do what you will do. Your life is now, your life is now, your life is now. In this undiscovered moment, lift your head up above the crowd. We could shake this world if you would. Your children to tell the truth. Would you take the high road if you could choose? Do you believe you're a victim of a great compromise? 'Cause I believe you could change your mind and change our lives. Your life is now, your life is now. In this undiscovered moment, lift your head up above the crowd. 'Cause we could shake this world if you would only show us how. Your life is your children to tell the truth. This is your time here to do what you will do. Your life is now, your life is now, your life is now. In this undiscovered moment, lift your head up above. If you would only show us how. Your life is now, your life is now, your life is now, your life is now.
All these we lift up to the great powers of healing, celebration, and renewal, known by many names. And we lift up Skip Blystein, who is scheduled for surgery this week. May he receive good care and heal quickly. We lift up Michelle Smith, who is recovering from surgery. We lift up Kathy McGill, who asks that we keep her in our prayers as she holds up so many big things as one of our community leaders here in Albuquerque. We bless the name and the memory of Patricia Dwyer, who died on Thursday. We lift up her family and friends. Will you join me in prayer? To that source of love that guides and comforts us, we turn our attention. To that source of peace, eternal compassion, and wisdom, we bring our unfettered selves. We pray for our world, world seen and unseen. We pray for all who are ill or recovering, for all who are experiencing grief. We pray for people beyond this congregation. We pray for the many people in our country's leadership who are ill with COVID-19. And we pray for the tens of thousands of regular folks, including the ones right here in our congregation and in our families. We pray for all people everywhere. We pray for justice and kindness and for our country to be on a better path soon. We pray for ourselves, for courage, healing, strength, resilience, and peace in these times. And we join our prayers with those of our Jewish neighbors and Jewish UUs in the spirit of Yom Kippur this last week, in praying also for forgiveness, for any ways in which we have fallen short of how we aspire to love, of how we mean to live, the ways in which we may have failed to be kind to ourselves and others and to love justice and mercy, for the ways we have judged others for their shortcomings. We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. And we give thanks for this autumn day, for this community we create, for the blessings in our lives and for the opportunity to share them with others through our manner of being in the world. Amen. And peace be with you.
Tilt your head slightly to one side and lift your eyebrows expectantly. Ask questions. Delve into the subject at hand or let things come randomly. Don't expect answers. Forget everything you've ever done. Make no comparisons. Simply listen. Listen with your eyes as if the story you are hearing is happening right now. Listen without blinking, as if a move might frighten the truth away forever. Don't attempt to copy anything down. Don't bring a camera or a recorder. This is your chance to listen carefully. Your whole life might depend on what you hear. That was How to Listen by Minnesota's poet laureate Joyce Stutfens.
A question we received this summer when we did a question box Sunday. Dear ministers, I'm not quite sure how to deal with people in these contentious times. On one hand, a large proportion of people pride themselves in denying science and other facts and are proud of their intolerant attitudes in areas such as race, immigration, and reproductive rights. On the other hand, people I generally agree with seem to be applying a purity test to everything and look down on anyone who is not in total agreement. They even disapprove of still having relationships with family and friends who don't have the correct political views. And a contentious election is approaching. And even smiling doesn't work since I wear a mask in public. How do I live among people now? Or should I just go be a hermit in the mountains? How shall we live when there is such polarization and the stakes are so high? I do think the occasional trip to the mountains or into a romance novel or a television show or the bosque is a good idea. We need respite, restoration, uncomplicated breaks from the intensity. During the presidential debate on Tuesday, I took a trip into a bag of chocolate cookies, but we can't stay gone forever. We do have to figure out how to live among people. I love that the writer of this question mentions smiling. We're missing that natural, simple way to show a little bit of kindness. This is a great time to have a lot of laugh lines so that your smile can show above your mask. If you don't have any wrinkles yet, I think a few more months of the year 2020 ought to do it. But if it doesn't, maybe we can bring back the wink. Smiling reminds us of one of the ways to live among people in a time like this, which is just to treat each other with simple kindness whenever possible. A society that's this polarized is also a society that dehumanizes. It dehumanizes by lumping people who are multidimensional into categories that are oversimplified and blunt and obscure the humanness in us. So here's what I know is true. I know that when the stakes are so high, it is important to speak up, to side with love, to march, vote, donate, etc. All of that big stuff on a social level, yes. And I also know that in smaller interactions, on a personal level, a deeper connection, like the kind that goes beyond categories and positions, is also necessary and is healing. I'm talking now about the kind of deep connection that occurs where there is deep listening. That's our theological theme for October, deep listening. That kind of connection is necessary and it's healing between people who share the same beliefs and values, and it's also necessary and healing between people who might be polar opposites. Can you think of a time when someone deeply listened to you? When you were able to share from your heart and you weren't interrupted? When someone was just present with you and you knew that what you shared was being received without judgment? Maybe you've experienced this with a friend or a family member, maybe from a mentor, a minister, or a therapist. Maybe it was in a covenant group here in this church. What did it feel like for somebody to give you their undivided attention? When someone listens to us in this way, when we know that they are really present to us, it's really moving, isn't it? It's a gift. Maybe the conversation didn't even last very long. Maybe you have had a 10-minute conversation with someone who was really present to you and listened. And that was all it took. And you had that feeling of being witnessed, companioned. Deep listening is an antidote to loneliness. And when it occurs between people who do not share the same beliefs and values, then it's also an antidote to dehumanization. Connection beyond categories is an antidote to dehumanization. The way we listen to each other can have such a transformative effect. And it isn't a magic cure for all of the things that ail our society. There just isn't one, but it is definitely good medicine. Now, I want to say a couple of things about this right off the top. First of all, when I talk about listening, I'm really not talking about a physiological thing. You can listen without being able to hear with your ears. Listening is really about leaning in to the communication that's being shared with us by another being. That can happen through spoken or printed words, through signing, body language, art, or images. There are many ways to communicate, and listening is about engaging with that communication. The other thing I want to say about listening is that it is not about being persuaded, and it's not about being passive. One day when my daughter was about 4 years old, she lobbied hard for something. I can't remember now what it was. It might have been about a toy, or maybe she wanted to try to launch her baby brother out of the stroller or something. I don't know. But what stayed with me was the moment that she got really, really frustrated, and she looked me in the eye, and she said, "You're not listening to me." And what she meant was, I wasn't doing what she wanted. I realized in that instant that for her whole life, all 4 years of it, I had been teaching her the wrong thing about listening. I had been saying, "Listen to me," when what I meant was, "Do as I say." Listening and persuasion are not the same thing. Deep listening is about presence, not about persuasion. And deep listening always involves three spiritual skills: attention, awareness, and curiosity. Deep listening always involves three skills that are spiritual: attention, awareness, and curiosity. So let's start with attention. How often have you had the experience of trying to tell somebody something only to have them abruptly shift the conversation to another subject, or perhaps to themselves? Probably you've also observed yourself doing this to somebody else sometimes. My husband and I do this to each other. Sometimes one of us will start to tell the other one something about our day, like maybe something challenging about our day, and the other one will be like, "Oh yeah, wait till you hear what I had to deal with." And then back and forth we go. In meditation, when our minds jump from one thought to another, we call that monkey mind. In conversation, when our attention jumps from what the person is saying to ourselves or to something else, it's the same thing happening. It's just making itself obvious outside of our heads. It reminds me of the movie Up. Do you remember that movie, that animated Pixar movie? And in it, there's this dog who wears a collar that translates his thoughts into human speech. And once in a while, the dog will be talking, and then all of a sudden he goes, "Squirrel!" And he freezes with his eyes trained somewhere else off in the distance. We are like that talking dog. Looking at the culture around us, it's easy to see why. It is just all squirrels out there. We live in an information age that's designed to interrupt us. Our phones ring and ding with texts, emails, voicemails, notifications from apps. Our computers do these things too, and while we're responding to one thing, an invitation, notification, or other distraction just pops right up in our screens. The boundary between what happens in digital life and what happens IRL, in real life, was always blurry, with our gadgets barging in where we're trying to focus on the 3D world. But now, because of the pandemic, more and more of our real lives takes place through technology. And we are more tempted than ever to multitask. Do you have multiple screens open right now doing church? Do you? Well, if you do, I get it. My phone has been lighting up throughout this whole service, but I'm not going to look at it right now. This is just the water we swim in. And the funny thing is, though, that even goldfish have longer attention spans. Seriously, look it up. Not right now. Squirrel! When we give our focused attention to something, to another person, when there are so many other things competing for it, that's a form of generosity. And it's also a spiritual skill. Just as in meditation, when we notice our mind wandering and we gently bring it back to the present moment, when we set an intention to deeply listen to another person, we are guiding our attention. We're focusing it on the person. And when the mind wants to wander, whether it's to an outward distraction or an inner one, we gently bring it back. This is one of the ways practicing at meditation is practicing at life. The second spiritual skill is awareness. This is cultivating our awareness of what needs, wants, feelings we might have that could prevent us from deeply listening. If we are attached to a goal of changing the person that we're listening to, then instead of being present to them, we're going to be thinking of our strategy. We will be mentally sifting through what they communicate to us. We'll be looking for things we can use to make our case and change their minds. Or our attachment to changing them might cause us to experience anxiety, frustration, or a fear of failure. I know many of us have had this experience when talking with someone who's very different from us and their opinions. The conversation becomes a win-lose situation. We tighten on the inside, and then it's unlikely that very much connection or depth could happen. And they're not going to experience us being truly present with them. What a relief it is to let go of that attachment. To not make ourselves responsible for another person's thoughts or behavior. And instead, to be able to just trust that deep listening itself is enough for right now. To trust that when we don't tighten and when we are attentive and open, it invites the other person to do the same. When we do notice that we are wanting a certain outcome in our minds, we can just acknowledge that and just let it be. We don't have to act on it. Likewise, if the person we're listening to says something that causes a feeling of anger or defensiveness or aversion, we can say to ourselves, I'm experiencing a feeling. It is passing through. We don't have to let it steal our attention or hijack the conversation. Now, if somebody is belittling us or being abusive in some way, that really is different. We don't owe anybody our deep listening. It's a gift. And there are times when a better gift to ourselves and to the other person is to end a conversation so that they can't continue to do harm. I wish the Commission on Presidential Debates would take this to heart. But most conversations in which we might experience negative feelings are just not extreme in that way. Instead, when negative feelings arise in us, it's often because we are becoming tempted to make the conversation about us. We want the other person to think differently. Maybe we want them to experience us in a certain way. Or maybe we are feeling fear about the wider world. But the person we are listening to is only one person. They do not control the world. The meditation teacher Tara Brach says, with deep listening, there's a quality of presence where there isn't a lot of selfing. There isn't a lot of activity of interpreting, judging, reading into, preparing. There's just openness and receptivity. There's no controlling of anything. She says where we don't have this kind of openness, which is most of the time for most of us, there's a lot of static. That's what she calls it, a lot of static between us and other people. The static is the noise of our projections, wants, feelings, strategizing going on in our minds. I like to think of that internal noise making a sound like televisions do sometimes, like shh. Between people, static also is a sign of poor reception happening. When we practice awareness, we quiet that noise down. We're able to continue to focus our attention intentionally. And then we get to practice something really satisfying, which is the spiritual skill of curiosity. Practicing curiosity, that's about replacing any frustrations or assumptions or judgments with an attitude of wonder. This can be just as satisfying to try with people who we think we know as it is with people who we just can't figure out. Where we might have responded to another person with our own opinion or a story about ourselves or an attempt to change them, instead we respond with curiosity. I wonder why this person feels this way. I wonder what I don't know. I wonder if I listen deeply, whether they would share from their heart. It's important not to turn our wonder into questions too quickly. If our intention is deep listening, we don't want to turn the conversation into an interview or replace our openness with a sneaky new goal of achieving a certain kind of insight, right? The first curiosity in deep listening is just an open-ended one. I wonder what this person would like to share if I'm fully present and I listen. When deep listening happens, the listener allows there to be pauses. The listener doesn't rush to fill the pauses in, but leaves room for the speaker's thoughts to unfold naturally. There might be something else they would like to say, but they're working up their courage or looking for a sign that you're still interested in listening. So allowing pauses is one of the ways of expressing our curiosity and wonder. But when a conversation reaches a point where you could ask a question without rushing things, there are some open-ended ones that can increase both the listener's understanding and the speaker's feeling of having been deeply listened to. I would like to hear more about that. Will you tell me more about what that means to you? Is there a story from your life about how you came to feel this way? What do you think might happen if things don't go as you hope? How would that impact you? How would it impact people you love? It's profound what we can discover about another person when we listen deeply with attention, awareness, and curiosity. It's amazing how much humanness, how much fear and longing and love we have in common with people who seem utterly different from ourselves. The poet Mark Nepo writes, "Still yourself and listen, and soon in time, the mystery will begin to speak to you through its thousand disguises as life on earth." In our fellow UU's question that began this sermon, they wonder about maintaining relationships with friends and family who hold differing political views. You will understand by now that I am not quiet about my own views, but neither am I a purist when it comes to love. I could not be a purist and love myself or anyone at all. No one can. Better then to side with love out loud when we speak, and in attentiveness, awareness, and wonder when we listen. And in this way, may our lives help to create the kinder, more connected world that is trying to be born. May it be so.
Our invitation now is to share our offerings. This quarter's Change for the Future recipient is SAGE, a primary provider of support, social connection, and educational programs to enhance the lives of all older LGBT individuals in the greater Albuquerque area and beyond. You can make an offering online by clicking in the link that we'll put in the chat box or by sending a check to the church office. We will now take up these offerings for the work of the church and the work of this church in the community.
What is generously given is received with gratitude. Thank you on behalf of the congregation and on behalf of the organization that is our Change for the Future recipient this quarter. We are now almost to the end of this formal service, and as always, you're invited to stay for small group conversations afterward. If you'd like to do that, just stay on the call and we'll automatically put you into a breakout room where you can visit with others. If you do stay, or if you have any conversations about the service outside of the service afterward, you might like to have a discussion question to get things going. And so I invite you to share either a time when someone deeply listened to you and what that was like, or perhaps a time when you deeply listened to someone else. And was there anything about it that surprised you? Some reflection questions to get your conversations going. And now, as we extinguish our candles and chalices, I offer you these words of benediction by Barbara Hamilton Holloway. Go now in peace. Deeply regard each other. Truly listen to each other. Speak what each of you must speak. Be ready in any moment to disarm your own heart. And always live as if a realm of love had begun. So be it, blessed be, amen.
Too scared to get much closer, too stubborn.